Today, August 29th, is the feast day of the beheading of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is one of the few saints that has more than one feast day. We have his birthday on June 24th, and we celebrate his martyrdom on August 29th. And what we see in the life of St. John the Baptist is that he was a witness from the beginning, the darkness, even in the darkness of his mother's womb, he was a witness when he left for Christ, when he left for joy, when Jesus was brought into his presence. He was even a witness until his death in the darkness of a dungeon where he continued to preach the word of God and to prepare the way for Christ. John the Baptist was the precursor, the one chosen to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the Messiah. And what we have here in the martyrdom of John the Baptist is really an extraordinary account of heroism and courage on behalf of John the Baptist. He spoke out in defense of the dignity and the sanctity of marriage. He told Herod it was wrong for him to steal his brother's wife and to live with her in sin. And so, because of this, Herodias harbored this grudge and put pressure upon Herod. Herod arrested John and placed him in prison. Herod still had probably some goodness within his heart because he says he respected John as a holy man, as a prophet. He knew that John was really God's messenger. And because of that, it says he liked to listen to John. He still had something in him. Even though he was a man filled with alcohol and with lust and with immorality, there was still something within him that respected the holiness of John. Herodias put pressure on him, so he had John arrested. He probably didn't know what to do. He kept John in prison for 10 months before this particular birthday party came about. Herodias, on the other hand, wanted John killed because she had pricked her conscience. She knew that she had seduced Herod, and that she had left her own husband, was living with him openly in adultery. And so because of that, she wanted John dead. And really, one of the finest pieces of writing that I've come across, I might have read a couple paragraphs last year to you from The Life of Christ by Bishop Sheen. Every Catholic should read this book. It's one of the best books ever written, probably the best book written on the life of Christ next to the Gospels themselves. The Life of Christ by Bishop Sheen. As I read these paragraphs, you'll see what insight Bishop Sheen has into the martyrdom of John the Baptist. He says that John was bent on pleasing God, not men. He resolved to talk about such lustful living. He's referring here to Herod and Herodias. He was too kind to excuse Herod's sin, too interested in moral health to leave the wound unprobed, too loving to have any thought except to save Herod's soul. John followed our Lord's divine teaching that marriage was holy and indivisible. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He cut straight into the quick with words that were clear, decisive, and abrupt. Pointing his finger at Herod and his wife, seated on their golden thrones, he said, "You have no right to your brother's wife." Herodias winced. She knew that John was recalling the fact that she had seduced Herod, who was already in her power. One look from her was enough for Herod. Before John could finish the next sentence, iron chains were thrown about his wrists and guards began dragging him from the court to throw him into the black dungeon below. The preacher was imprisoned, but his words were not. They would echo in conscience long after his voice had been silenced. Now, what's interesting is that Herod now had a choice. John spoke up. Herod now had a choice. Would he, give up this immoral relationship? Or would he and follow John the Baptist and do the right thing? Or would he give in and not change his life? Well, of course, Herod was unwilling to give up this immoral relationship. And then Bishop Sheen continues, some months later, the time came for Herod's birthday to be celebrated with a great feast. To this banquet were invited all of Herod's lords and ladies, the military personnel and various hangers-on from Galilee. It was evening and the castle was softly lighted. Faces were painted to look their best in the dim, flattering candlelight. The noise of the music, the blare of horns, and the shouts of revelry resounded through the stony castle, even reaching down to the narrow, dark dungeon below, where for 10 months John the Baptist had languished. Nevertheless, the guests were probably bored to distraction, for nothing is more sickening than the organized joy of the jaded. Herod's voice rang out in this first great nightclub of the Christian era, calling for a sensuous dance to stimulate their weary spirits. The dancer would be Salome, the fair daughter of the king's wife by her first husband, the maiden who was of noble descent of the Maccabees, but who had been utterly debased and corrupted by a degenerate mother, danced her way to the floor. The revelers were charmed, and Herod, following her every moment of movement of grace, soon became so aroused with lust and wine, when, with one last fling, she threw himself upon her, he blurted out with a burst of passion, "I will give you anything you want, even to half my kingdom." In a sense, he was proposing marriage to her, which would have upset Herodias even more, would have upset her mother even more, that he was going to even give half the kingdom, in a sense, proposing marriage. Salome did not know what to ask for, so she turned to her mother. Herod had already forgotten that unfortunate sermon of John the Baptist, but a woman does not so easily forget. Those 10 months while John was in prison below, he was also in the soul of Herodias, troubling it, disturbing her sleep, torturing her conscience, and haunting her dreams. She now resolved to get rid of him, thinking that if she could just do away with this moral representative of God, she could sin with impunity for the rest of her life. With one word to Salome, she would silence her own conscience and her husband's forever. She whispered her answer into her daughter's ear. Salome approached Herod. The shrill music stopped. Silence fell over the assembly. The food became tasteless, and even their hearts were sickened as the young girl asked Herod, "Give me here on a dish the head of John the Baptist." Herod was thrown into confusion because of his oath. He thought of all his past respect for the prophet, but at the same time he was afraid of the taunts and the whispered jests of the guests if they should see him draw back from his promise. Unfaithful to God, to conscience, to himself, not ashamed of any crime, but ashamed of public opinions, he decided to be faithful to his drunken oath. Above all, he trembled at the wrath of his second wife. Herod called forward a few slaves. Torches were lighted. No one spoke as they heard the slaves descending the stairs, deeper and deeper, the sound growing fainter. Then they heard the fumblings of keys in the dungeon door, the creaking of hinges. There was silence for a few seconds, broken by a sickening thud, then a slow march up the stairs, louder and louder, in rhythm of the beating of their hearts. The slaves approached Herodias with a gory gift. She went to Salome, and Salome carried it across the dance floor and gave it to Herod on a golden platter, the bearded head of the prophet of fire. On that dark night, at the bidding of the child of an adulteress, Herod had murdered the forerunner of Christ. What a powerful passage that is from Bishop Sheen. And we see here that Herod did not so much care about what God thought, he cared too much about public opinion. We call Herod the patron of all like spineless and weak politicians who do not follow God's moral teachings, but care too much about what people think. We see that Herod had a choice, either to honor God and be faithful to the commandments, or to give in to his sin and corruption. And then sadly, he gave in to his sin and corruption. And John the Baptist remained a prophet to the last moment of his life, giving his life for Christ. And now I'll give you a blessing with the relic of St. John the Baptist. You can venerate this 2,000-year-old relic after Mass. Through the intercession of St. John the Baptist, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.